Yes.
Good morning. Welcome to the House Committee on Higher Education Innovation Workforce Development. It's Wednesday, February 10th. We have two items on our agenda, and I want to take them out of order. Representative Johnson is obligated in another place, so we'll take care of the first item quickly in a work session on House Bill 4019. You remember, committee, that this is the cleanup bill that started with the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. We adopted a couple of amendments at our last meeting. There was one remaining amendment that we wanted a little time for further considerations. We didn't have the paperwork then anyway. We do now have the paperwork. Victoria, very good. And the Dash 4 amendments, I did a relatively cursory job last time of describing Representative Buckley's interest in clarifying the applicability of in-state tuition to the dependents of people who had been who had moved away from Oregon, not of their own decision as a result of their national service. So the Dash 4 amendments are the remaining amendment that we did not yet adopt. Representative Wisnant, please.
Chair Reed, thank you for giving me time to look and get some further information on the Dash 4. So I move the committee adopt the Dash 4 amendments dated 2/5/16.
Thank you. And just as Representative Hoyle has arrived, I'll restate that with a little more context. We're doing a work session on House Bill 4019. This is the motions on the Dash 4 amendments. Representative Buckley's interest in clarifying the intent around in-state tuition for those who had moved out of Oregon out of their own volition. And Representative Wisnant has just moved those Dash 4 amendments, which are dated February 5th, 2016. Is there any discussion of the motion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. Dash 4 amendments are adopted. Representative Wisnant, please.
Chair Reed, I move House Bill 4019 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Wisnant has moved House Bill 4019 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on that motion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. House Bill 4019 as amended has the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Wisnant, you'd be kind enough to carry?
I'd be honored, sir.
Thank you. And we'll close the work session on House Bill 4019. And move to a public hearing on House Bill 4010, which I know you're going to head around. And Victoria, if you could give us a summary, that'd be great, please.
I would be happy to. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 4010 requires each public university to report to the Legislative Assembly detailed list of all university expenditures on state programs.
Thank you. Representative Wisnant, Representative Nierman, please.
Good morning to all honorable committee members. For the record, I'm Gene Wisnant, State Representative, House District 53. Representative Nierman and I bring you House Bill 4010. This bill would require each public university to report to the Legislative Assembly a detailed list of all university expenditures on state programs. Why are we introducing this bill? I think this committee, better than anyone, knows the high cost of higher education is well documented. And we need to justify every dollar the state spends in support of higher education. The House Higher Education Committee has produced effective legislation to help address this cost. We can all be proud of our accomplishments to help lower the cost of higher education, which increases access for all.
And for the record, I'm Mike Nierman. I'm the state representative from House District 23. So there's many positions on why the cost of higher education has increased so much. Many of the arguments in this bill focus on administrative cost or expenses outside the classroom. The New England Center for Investigative Reporting, a nonprofit news center based in Boston University, reports the following.
Next.
There's just a few things here I'll highlight here. One of them is lack of state funding, which is kind of a theme that comes up often in this committee. And then it's that the spending on universities has increased at a much higher rate than the government spending in general. And just example of that is the next two bullet points, which is that the U.S. military budget is about 1.8 times higher than it was in 1960, but state appropriations to higher education are 10 times higher.
And let me just make sure I understand that bullet. 10 times higher than in 1960, or then what?
The end. It's at both of them at the end factor after. At the higher year, 2000, it was from 2000. Where's my slide?
No, I was looking at the comparison that state appropriations to higher ed are more than 10 times higher than in 1960? Or what's the end of that bullet? You can tell us later if you've
okay. Thank you.
Yep.
And then growth in administrative positions, and then there's an example from Cal Poly there. So this is kind of a list of some of the public university state programs that we have here. So this budget unit includes general fund support for a variety of institutions and programs operated by public universities that address issues not related to instructions or student support. So this adds up to a little bit over $10 million. The next slide here, the dollar amount you see is $34 million there, and the difference between that and the previous, that doesn't add up to $34 million. The other 24-ish million dollars is the Oregon Talent Council there. So we've approved a budget for $34 million in the general fund, which is 34.5% above the previous biennium legislatively approved budget.
Okay, the Representative Nierman and I are here today asking the Oregon Public Universities to be transparent and provide the public information on the total cost of these programs and judge expenditures based upon their performance in support of higher education. Senate Bill 80, with the passage of Senate Bill 80, public universities are not required to provide data on income and expenses to the Oregon Transparency website as they were under the Oregon University system. This bill requires the Oregon Public Universities to begin to reconnect to the Oregon Transparency website with specific information on data on the public university state programs. Representative Nierman and I welcome your questions and comments on our bill and would welcome your statements and support to provide this information and other information to help keep down the cost of tuition and higher education. Mr. Chair, the quote that we are putting on the slide, and I created the slide, so it's probably my fault. They're talking about whether public investment in higher education is larger today. It is larger today in inflation-adjusted dollars than it was during this supposed golden age of public funding in the 60s. Such spending has increased at a much faster rate than government spending in general. For example, the military budget is about 1.8 times higher today than it was in 1960. So the legislative appropriations to higher education is more than 10 times higher today than it was in 1960.
Okay. And that's nationally, or that's Oregon specifically, or?
So that's nationally.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Questions for either of our Representative Hoyle and Representative McEwen, please.
So thank you very much for the presentation. But now, isn't this information already publicly available? If we wanted to get this information, we could do public records requests. We could find this information. Isn't it already publicly available?
Mr. Chair and Representative, probably yes, but I mean, why the legislative body should not have to go through public records requests to get information on how we're making our decisions on how to spend money?
So just from my experience, when I've asked the universities for information on programs, they provided it very easily and willingly.
Mr. Chair, good representative. I can show you paperwork back to 2012 or 2013 or 12 that I have failed to get adequate information on support of some of these programs.
Well, happy to work with you on that. I've had a different experience.
Thank you. Representative McEwen, please.
Thank you, representatives, for bringing this issue. I think it's important to have this conversation, and I appreciate you broaching it with us. Could you go back to the slide that details that one right there? Mm-hmm. I guess I'm going to follow up on Representative Hoyle's question. Is your concern about these programs in general?
Yes.
That the programs are in question, or that the approved budget amounts are in question for these programs? I'm trying to help, in my mind, think through about what you're trying to get at. Because, I mean, we see these budgets. In fact, a number of these programs I've seen come through committee, and a budgeted amount is approved for them. So is it the amount that's being questioned or the programs themselves?
Mr. Chair, thank you, good representative, for those questions. Okay. First of all, we do. I've served on Ways and Means many sessions, and we see these programs come through. We're concerned about whether the state money that goes to these organizations is really contributing to the university mission, and how much money and how they're spending it. And I don't believe this is the on all these programs, I don't believe the number we're seeing here is the bottom line of what's being provided to them. There's no accountability. Have you ever seen, does that cover FTEs? Does that cover travel? Does that cover computer services? Does that cover rent? What are we approving here? What's the, you know, how much money are we giving them? And, you know, so that's what we're after, is what is the total amount being spent on these programs? Are the programs contributing to education? Are they contributing to Oregon that we want to spend that money? Because it's coming out of the general fund, that we give universities to educate our young people, and not young people, our people.
So just to clarify, I think you answered my question. So it's both. Yes, you're concerned about the programs themselves.
And the amount of money.
And you're concerned about that actually being the amount of money that is being spent on those particular programs.
Mr. Chair, Representative, yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. I appreciate it.
I know Representative Gagos has a question. I have one I just want to follow up on based on what Representative McEwen asked. If that's all right, I'll do that real quickly. You mentioned the total expenditures, and in fact, the bill says university expenditures. So I wonder, have you thought about the distinction? And I don't know these budgets well enough to know whether this is the case in all of them or just, but I think it's the case in some of them, that some of the money associated with them may be the result of private philanthropy. Is there any distinction that you have in mind between state and, I mean, you can imagine a donor who might give to the university with a specific restriction about how this might be spent. Does your bill contemplate that at all?
Mr. Chair, thanks for the question. No, we're looking at state money. That's all. This legislative body is responsible for the state money. My colleague would agree. Yes, many of these organizations get other income. They get grants, but there's no really track. And again, committee members and chair, what we're saying here is let's start at this one, because I think I don't think there's a real good oversight, and never been on some of these programs, and there's some great programs, and but let's look at, you know, what they're intended to do and how the money that's coming out of the general fund for education is being used for these organizations. Maybe they have enough money, they don't need it anymore. I don't know that. But what we're doing here is the overall objective is to go back where the universities would report all their data back on the website. The good representative from Eugene was asking about, the universities now, since they're separate, I think that they should report into the Oregon Transparency website on income and money and things like that for the public. So we don't have requests for information and things. Because we went over real quick because we were sensitive to everyone's time during this time, and we just wanted to bring the subject up and see maybe the chair wants to look further into it. But the brief research I've done in the last, I've researched this for some time, but briefly, you look at, you know, there's all sorts of costs. People say different things affect the higher cost, you know, state contributions. Well, this guy doesn't think that's true. Some people think it's the administrative ratios. The administration ratios have doubled compared to professors or in the classroom. And a lot of that, some writing we've looked at says, well, that's because of the legislature requirements you put on them to have all these, you know, different people perform these different functions. Some other ones say it's really the cost of, lodging and health care for the professors and pay like that. So there's a lot of reasons. You know, we've done a good job of trying to bring down the cost, and we've looked at trying to help them get out of their debt, but let's get the cost down, and they won't be as much debt to worry about, Mr. Chair.
It's all part of it. Representative Gagos, please.
Yeah, I have to say that I really do appreciate the motivation and interest in transparency. I'm concerned, though, about the level of micromanagement. I mean, I think we hire administrators, we vet them, and but digging down, where's the line? I guess that's all I'm thinking about. And the other thing is what I'm concerned about as well, in terms of economy and dollars, I'm really more concerned about the outcome, the success rate, in terms of meeting the mission of the universities, which is to educate our citizenship. So, you know, while I think looking at dollars is important, it must be tied to the effectiveness of the programs as well. So efficiency as well as effectiveness.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank the good representative for those comments. I agree with you, but again, if our objective, we all agree our objective is to educate more citizens at the least possible cost. Mm-hmm. So that means looking at everything. Again, go back. Representative Nierman and I are asking, let's look at this one thing, and let's encourage the universities to come back and report under the transparency website that they're no longer required under Senate Bill 80. That's the job of the legislature. This committee member we had, I don't think I'm saying something I shouldn't, because he sent an email. It went out a public email, but Senator Nelson spoke to this committee about the fact that, you know, his opinion was that we're the legislative body is donors to the universities, and we don't need so many reports. Well, offline and personally in my office, and didn't want to embarrass him, I said, I don't look at it that way. I look at the legislature as we're stockholders. The stockholder wants reports on how you're using my money. And the good former senator said an email that he would agree with me, that we are more of a stockholder than a donor. And that's what this we're talking about here, not just donating the money with no responsibility for what you're doing with it.
Thank you.
You've
got to
help me out.
Chair Reed, and I'll address some things. So Representative McEwen's issue, I think that there are some questions, because in some cases the FTEs reported by these things don't match up. So I'll stipulate that.
Can I interrupt for just 1 second? Where are they reported? If that's the challenge, I thought I understood you say you couldn't get the information. So I'm a little confused.
So we're not getting the financial information, but we do have though.
It was a separate email.
Yeah. So we had FTEs reported for one of these. So these programs are fairly well vetted. The dollar amounts that you see on there are pretty well vetted in committees, this committee and other committees and all that. So we'll stipulate that's fine. But some of the things don't match up, and it looks like it may be possible that university funds might be being put into these things, you know, in great proportions or whatever. Maybe not. It's possible, to your point, Chair Reed, that maybe the OSU Natural Resources Institute, their budget isn't $399,000. Maybe it's $4 million, but there's some big philanthropist who's picking up the rest of the slack. And if that's the case, that's not only okay, that's fine. That's a great thing. But it would be nice to know that. Or it'd be nice to know if possibly the university is picking up the slack to an extent that maybe is not appropriate. So I think that's what this bill's after, is to just see some accounting on if there's any kind of university resources that are going into some of these programs over and above what the numbers that you see here. But these numbers are well vetted through the process.
Mr. Chair, can I comment, please?
Yes, please.
Mr. Chair and committee members, I spent some time researching and trying to find out the financials of some of these organizations, and it's very difficult. And the number that Representative Nierman mentioned is a letter I got from the chief financial officer of the Oregon University System. It's not in the documents that we look at in Ways and Means. I've been in Ways and Means on the Education Committee, and those details, this is all we see. I could have brought the page. You know, this was package 100 in the budget we just passed, 15-17. Page 15 of 31 pages, and that's basically all we get. Now, do the analysts get more? You know, I haven't found it because I've asked for it.
So Representative Hoyle, and then I think you had your hand up as well, and then we'll come to Representative Reardon. Yep, so
you've answered my question.
So just two quick questions, and thank you for I want to thank you for the conversations, because these are programs that do provide valuable services that really people feel very strongly about their value. So I think it's an important discussion to have. But there are two questions. One is, you had said that you had FTE information on one program, which program? And then the other thing is, I just like to hear why this set of programs were set aside for this level of focus.
Mr. Chair, Representative, again, I just said we just said let's look, start somewhere that we can look and get into more detail in the weeds. Again, I think our overall objective is you put the university system back into the reporting on the Oregon Transparency website.
I will follow.
Okay. And which program did you have FTE information for? Sorry.
Go ahead, that's fine.
Chair Reed and Representative Hoyle, I believe that was the Labor Education Resource Center. Was that the one that we were looking at?
I forgot. Yeah.
I will note, Representative Hoyle, I think you both mentioned the OTC as a substantial portion of the total. That, of course, came through this committee, so we have pretty good detailed information on that. And I think you said 24 of the 34, so yeah. That's an interesting note, too, as to the total expenditures, the $10 million is a relatively small proportion, probably, of the
Mr.
total.
Mr. Chair, so, could
yes,
I follow
please.
Up to that?
Yes, please.
I think what they presented to this committee, I supported, I voted for. I think it's great. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much money they're paying for an office. Who's providing the office? Are we providing the tech? Are we providing them free computers, free telephone service? Are we paying for their travel? I don't know that. Do you know that, sir?
I think we had some good information on what the what they intended to or expected to pay in terms of office expense. I don't think we knew about the location or the specific landlord and that sort of stuff, but I think we did have a sense of the amount. So I get your larger point, but
and some of these are located on universities' facilities. The population. I've used the Population Center for a lot of things in support of having that service, but I don't know how many FTEs they have, because I don't think it's ever presented to the legislature.
Representative McKeown, please.
My question's been asked and answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Rudin, please.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for this interesting questions. So I just have a couple of just tedious things, probably, but just from a practical standpoint, are the budgets at the universities, are they prepared in a consistent manner so that you can actually have true comparisons from one university to the other?
Good representative, I haven't seen that in my years in Ways and Means. I don't think we go into that detail, and that's why you have the board and things like that. And I understand that. Representative Hall, how much detail we want to go, but I just, again, our overall, let's ask them just voluntarily. That's why this bill is not moving anywhere. It's a hearing. But let's encourage the universities to come back into the website and the transparency website.
The reason I ask that is that years ago I was part of working on the K-12 budgets, and they came up with a standardized manual because at that time we had 300 school districts. You couldn't compare FTEs in one program to another.
So that was
the reason for the question. So it's a matter of practical. Can you do it in a way that's going to make sense once you get the results? So, maybe something to think about going forward. And then what was percentage of this these programs? They represent what percentage of the overall budget?
It's pretty small.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair and Representative, it's small overall. But if we get $34 million, how many hundred of opportunity grant scholarships is that fund? And this,
I think that brings me to my last question, please. So I always look to you for leadership on this committee because of your long time and your wisdom. So it's a question of, are you concerned about mission creep for the universities? Are you concerned that, I'm not trying to put words into your mouth, but I think maybe there's a core mission of getting kids into the classrooms, getting them through their degree programs, and that's sort of considered basic, and then like this other stuff is extras, or I'm just trying to figure out what your real concern is.
Mr. Chair and good Representative Reardon, thank you for your comments. It really is about being sure that money the state gives the universities goes to educating our students. And if we have more money that we can go out and have a population center or look at climate center, then that's great. But that money is affecting the tuition of our students. Small amount, overall budget, I understand that. But it's a perception, too. You know, what if one of those organizations, what if the Metals Institute is actually getting four times what they're reporting through other, you know, but not, you know, non-general fund, but from services from the university. That's coming out of the money that can, you know, you go through, I go Google this afternoon, if you have a half an hour, Google higher education tuition cost factors. And look at the things. And this is a small thing, but money-wise. But I think that this committee, like I said, I'm proud to be a part of this committee and the work we've done to try to bring specific programs to help students. And this is just another thing. Let's put it out there. Let's put what we're spending this money for and be proud of it's good. I think the population thing, the ETEC, I mean, all these things I voted for, and I'm proud of those things. But let's do a little bit more research, and we need data to do that and information.
One last question for me, and your last comment may be part of the answer. I note that before the list of specifics, it says includes but is not limited to. And I just heard you say metals. Unless I've missed it, that's not on the list. So that might – is it?
Oregon Metals Initiative.
It's the fifth one down.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are the other ones that you're thinking of? Includes but not limited to. Do you have others on your list for the future?
Well, there were only two under this general programs. I think was there was two other packages in the budget, the ETEC and
Oregon Talent Council.
Yeah,
Oregon Talent Council.
No, well that is ETEC.
That's okay. Yeah. So there was one other one. It was not a lot of money.
So do you have other ones in mind, or I guess I'm just struggling with that?
No, Chair Reed and members of the committee, the Oregon Talent Council, it doesn't really get included in this because I think that carve-out goes to the employment department.
Yes.
So that would be kind of a different bill or whatever. So this list, I think, is exhaustive there, unless there's other things I don't know about.
I'm asking, yeah. Is there other ones?
I don't know what
okay.
I don't know.
I'm not aware of any, Mr.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Representative McKeown, please.
Chair Reed, thank you. I'm still trying to clearly understand what you're trying to get at, and I am truly interested in the spirit of transparency. I think we all have to focus on transparency in everything that we do as legislators and expect that of the organizations that we support, which is our statutory duty to do so. So I'm just reading the summary here again on the bill, and I think I have two questions. One is, is it the programs themselves that are being questioned here and the validity of the programs, or is it the fact that you would like more detailed data that's publicly available for us? I mean, we can get it if we ask for it, but to make this publicly available. And is it, to Representative Hoyle's question, is the university just not providing in granular enough detail publicly? Is that what you're trying to get at here? I'm trying to figure out how we get at what you want. And if it's requiring the universities to put a more granular level of budgetary detail on their websites, does that do it? Or are you asking that it actually be moved over to a state transparency website? What actually are you trying to accomplish here so I can try to understand it better? I'm still not quite getting what you're getting at.
So Chair Reed and Representative McKeown, let's just say that we're not disputing any of these budget items here. Or if we wanted to do that, there's another opportunity for us to do that when these budget items come up. So at least as they stand, that we don't have any quibble with the actual dollar amounts on here or anything like that. Imagine, if you will, a third column on that chart there that is university contributions to these programs in kind or cash or staff or whatever over and above the budget numbers that you see. That's the column that we want to see filled in. Is that summarize it? So for instance, we have just Oregon Metals Initiative, whatever, $749,000. Is there some university that's providing them with free rent or staff or computer resources or something like that that's of significant value that we don't know about? The university may be providing that to them, and that might be a resource that could be used to fund programs for students. It may not be a big deal, but it may be, and we just don't know. So that's what this bill is about. Does that help?
I think it does. Thank you.
And I discovered what my problem was. When I was saying metals, I didn't see it. I was looking at the bill. I do see it up there, but I don't see it in the actual bill. So that's what I was confused by.
Mr. Chair, what we're talking about? And to answer the good representative's question, I'll concur with what Representative Nierman said, but also we have to look, is this part of the university system? Is this something that should be in this category? Because if you look in the budget, House Bill 5024A on page 14, it lists these programs that we've done here, the public university state programs. This budget unit includes general fund support for a variety of institutions, centers, and programs operated by public universities that address economic development, natural resource, and other issues, rather than providing support for general support for instruction and student support services.
Representative McCune, you had one more question, I think.
I do. I'm noticing that all of these programs that you have called out are Oregon State, U of O, and Portland State. What about? Do you have the same issue with the regional universities, or is that not an issue because
it's not in the budget? I don't know. This is the only ones that's in the budget.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So then, I think my earlier question maybe holds again. What accounts for the distinction in this list on your chart versus what's in the bill? And again, we can pick on metals because it's up there, but it's not in the bill unless I've missed it there. I was looking at the end of your first page. The includes but not, it's not limited to, and has A through I.
I got a copy of the bill. It was just an error in drafting. It should have. I don't know. Is the university vessel system in there? It's not. It's
that one it? Is.
Research
that's
vessel
F.
is there.
That is
mm-hmm.
okay.
Yep.
It's just an oversight, I guess. Drafting.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
And does the extension services does that also fit into your general description here?
I would, because it's on the anything on this program that we're budgeting. Yes, sir.
So it's I don't.
I typed out my secretary. I made a mistake.
It's okay. I don't see it on the chart, and I definitely don't see it in here, but in terms of a state program, would the same questions apply to that as to the ones you've already identified?
Mr. Chair, if we're funding it with state money, I would like to be sure it's contributing to the university mission. Okay. And what other funds are being used that are not properly identified? Let's be truthful. If we're saying the climate change research is $300,000, but they're using $1 million of taxpayers' money, let's put that out there.
Okay.
I don't see anything wrong with asking that.
I think there are those who think we're not spending enough on extension services, since we all get those communications. So that's fine.
Services, yeah.
Representative Hayden, please.
Thank you, Chair. I see this as a very common practice. If you kind of step out of our hat at the state in our jobs here, in the commercial world or the business world, if two entities, one is funding another entity or one entity is buying out another entity, they just want to see the records. They don't really care where that business was transacting or how much money was in that transaction, but they want to get a feel for what's happening here as they review that process. Mm-hmm. I think what they're asking for here is not a burden to the universities and pretty much a click of a mouse, because the universities have that information in their accounting departments, and it's just, here's what it is. I have had personal experience here on request of very simple information that I've struggled for over 3 months in some instances to get from some of our agencies. Mm-hmm. So even though it may be public record for some of us sometimes, it seems very difficult to get. And so I don't think this is a stretch, or I don't think this ask is a stretch. I don't think it's an ask to change any policy or to change any department or to change what's happening. It's just ask for a simple, concise review of information that's already available. That's the way I see it.
Thank you, Representative. Appreciate it. I think we may have. I was going to say we exhausted our questions. Not quite yet. Representative Gruden.
Tony, when if something like this was going to advance, I think the things I would hope to add to it would be things like how much additional revenue programs like this bring in, and I don't see anything like that. And then perhaps something about how many students are served and in what kind of role that they serve, because I know that these programs provide a lot of real-world experience, work experience. They do a lot of valuable research. So, you know, on the sake of being complete, I think you'd want to know revenue, additional revenue contributions, and who they serve. Mm-hmm. So.
Can Mr. Chair, would you want to make anything closing comments? I'd like to close and saying again, I think both of us are very proud to serve on this committee and the work we've done, and this subject was just being brought up to continue to try to find, be sure that we're looking at cost and cost drivers. And these programs, I don't know of any of them that I don't think are justified, but we need some oversight as the stockholders. And I hope the universities will maybe consider, volunteering to maybe put some information on the transparency website, or come back in, and this committee may want to see about further looking into cost drivers and what we can do to help bring down tuition. And thank you for all the time and questions and interest in the subject.
Thank you.
And we're not done yet, though. we've exhausted our questions, and I appreciate your testimony. We do have Jeff Dentz, who has signed up to testify as well. So welcome you back up here, and let's hear from Dr. Dentz, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Chair Reed and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jeff Dentz, president of the Interinstitutional Faculty Senate. We are the duly elected representatives of Oregon faculty. IFS greatly appreciates the focus on accountability and transparency Representative Wisdom and Nierman have brought forth in House Bill 4010. Given the historic reinvestment in higher education resulting from the Oregon State Legislature's 2015 session, it is important to ensure legislators, the public, and other stakeholders that public monies are duly accounted for. While the provisions of House Bill 4010 are a step in the right direction, IFS respectfully submits that information contained in the annual reports mandated by House Bill 4010 may not be appropriate for interinstitutional comparative purposes. The mission, scope of academic programs, market forces, and a melange of other factors make interinstitutional comparison of the range of fiscal indices highlighted in House Bill 4010 problematic. Despite this limitation, the provisions of House Bill 4010 create a sound baseline for evaluating an institution's financial commitment to its most valuable resource, its students. IFS suggests there may be another venue to accomplish the legislative intent of House Bill 4010. Passed by the Oregon Legislature in 2013, House Bill 270 serves as the statutory basis for the new higher education regime in Oregon. Under the provisions of this legislation, the Higher Education Coordinating Commission is required to conduct annual evaluations of Oregon's public universities with institutional governing boards. Moreover, Oregon Revised Statute 352.0651A duly notes, quote, the Legislative Assembly finds the State of Oregon will benefit from having public universities with governing boards that provide transparency, public accountability, and support for the university, end quote. IFS suggests the focus of transparency and accountability highlighted throughout the provisions of House Bill 4010 can be accomplished through the annual institutional evaluation process overseen by HEC. Given the nascent nature of this process, please note the final version of the annual institutional evaluation reports of the University of Oregon, Portland State University, and Oregon State University will be presented to HEC for the first time tomorrow. IFS submits embedding the financial information highlighted in House Bill 4010 could be accomplished within this alternative institutional evaluation framework. Given the already weighty time constraints on members of the legislature, especially during the short session, this technical fix embedded within 4010 could be achieved via this alternative framework with a minimum amount of time and effort. I would note in closing that several of the programs that were highlighted in the legislation are presenting this morning to one of HEC's subcommittees across the street, and I'm going to be going over there immediately to comment on some of those programs. With that, thank you for your time. I'd be glad to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Dr. Dentz. Excuse me. Are there questions? I don't see any. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you for your testimony.
That completes the list of people who have signed up to testify. We do have someone here from the University of Oregon. If people want to ask budget questions, Mr. Bernard made himself available. I think he's ready to answer questions, but I don't know that. I mean, I'm speaking for his for him. That's nice of you. Thanks, Hans.
Chair Reed, members of the committee, for the record, Hans Bernard with the University of Oregon, speaking somewhat on behalf of the rest of the public universities. We have not had an extensive conversation about this bill, but would like to offer the committee that it would be possible, at least for the University of Oregon, and I know some of our other colleagues, to provide some of the information that has been requested in the bill. I would flag a note of caution. You know, we are always looking out for efforts by this body and others to engage in sort of slippery slope activity as it relates to governance, and we believe these budgetary decisions and the purview of these programs are really left to the Board of Trustees by the legislature and the governor with the passage of Senate Bill 270 a couple sessions ago. So would be cautious about our support of any efforts to impose additional requirements on the institutions to provide this information in one place or another. The second thing, in terms of some clarity around the list that was shown up on the screen to you earlier, there are many other programs at universities that are funded through the Public University Support Fund. This list, the state public university state programs, candidly are creatures created by the legislature and therefore line item funded. So there were, at a given time, individual members or champions within your body who created these programs that are housed at universities, and so they are called out specifically in statute and separate from the formula. So that's how that list is generated and created. There are many other centers or programs or mission-oriented funding streams, for example, veterinary education funding at Oregon State University, some of the smaller research centers at Portland State or U of O. Primarily, these are at the larger research institutions, but the differentiating factor is those that were created in statute versus those that have been created by the universities themselves to fill an academic mission. So that's the list that was presented to you earlier. Again, we've spoken with the proponents of the bill. We'd be happy to provide the committee with some of the information that has been requested. I'll work with my colleagues to gather that for the committee and can be back before you following the short legislative session. We'd, again, be cautious of additional requirements on reporting and other activities. So thank you. Happy to answer any questions.
Representative Rudin, please.
I just want to make sure I understand. If I understand you correctly, the $24 million, whatever these programs are totaled up to, are not part of the $500 million that the legislature gave. Is that true?
I should preface this by saying I am not a budget person. Okay. I don't do numbers. I rely on my colleagues who are better versed in those issues. What I can say is that over the course of the last 5 years, the definition of what is funded by the Public University Support Fund has changed, and there was an action, there was work done by BAM and LFO to separate out the funding streams for these programs that were creatures of state statute and separate them out. I will tell you, when the public universities came forward and requested from this body $755 million in funding to restore us to pre-recession funding levels, we had to go back and create lists that showed apples to apples comparison because the statutes and the funding streams have changed. So there's been action in the last 5 to 7 years that pulled these out. So that when we talk about the fact that universities received $700 million for our budget appropriation, of which we are tremendously grateful, and I need to take that opportunity to say every chance I get, we do include this number. But that is because it was included in the general fund for universities in 2007, which is where we were making our comparison.
Okay. That's what I was trying to say. And one more.
Go ahead.
And I asked this earlier. I'm not sure I understood the answer. Is there a uniform budget manual that requires that budget items be recorded, talked about in a consistent manner across the universities?
Representative Reardon, Chair Reed, I do not know. I would have to follow up and get the answer for that.
It would be great. Thank you.
Representative Wisdom, please.
Thank you, Mr. Hans. Thank you very much for your testimony and trying to clarify some of this. And I would welcome further work with this committee and the universities. You didn't comment on the transparency website, and I think in future conversations we need to clarify. I can remember when I first started looking at it, I think the list used to include Shakespeare Theater or something like that, and there was other things on that that were different than this list that we published today, which was 1517. But I'm not sure that everything on here was created by legislation. So look forward to working with you in the universities, and would hope that maybe some of you know we talked about in here, one of the bills is saying publish what the course costs and all this stuff. So we know there's a lot of things being put laid on you that drives up that administrative cost. But I would look forward to working with the universities and seeing what we can make to the information to make to the public and how that you're reviewing these programs. Thank you.
I think this is a good point maybe to wrap up on, because I think you've highlighted both in a really nice sort of artful way there the tension between the desire for more transparency but not to create more cost in pursuing it. I could say for myself I do really appreciate both of your efforts to highlight this as an issue, and it sounds like there's some good work yet to be done in terms of striking that right balance.
There's no work session.
No work session today, I'm sorry. And unless there's anyone else who wants to testify on the bill, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing on House Bill 4010. Thank you very much. I think we're essentially done with the bills that were assigned to us. Now we'll see if there's anything coming from the Senate. Victoria has flagged a couple that might come our direction. We have a few informational hearings in mind to continue some of the conversations we've heard since we're here, and there's good work to be done. But that's our setup for now. So that means that we will hear that's a go on Friday. So on Friday, also at 8:30, we're going to have an informational hearing, an update on the progress of the OSU Cascades.
Everyone will be here.
And,
everyone will be here.
Representative Wisnett will enforce your timely attendance.
And
attention. That's right. And no meeting on Monday, the 15th. So I'll mention that again when we're here on Friday.
8:30 on Friday.
Yes, 8:30 on Friday. Anything else for the committee today? Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're adjourned.